Okay. We'll go ahead and get started. Well, good morning. I am Fred Wade. I'm the chair of the Washington State Collection Agency Board. And it is now 10:02 a.m. on Thursday, March 21st, 2024. And I'm calling this board meeting to order. This meeting is open to the public, and we will be providing the opportunity for public comment at the end of the meeting. As a courtesy, we encourage participants to mute themselves when they are not speaking to reduce the background noise. However, one challenge is remembering to unmute yourself when you are speaking. Also, for board members to help us capture information correctly, please state your name when making comments. Thank you. At this time, I would like to ask our board clerk, Susan Nevis, to call roll to confirm the attendance of all board members. Once Susan has called your name, please respond by verbally stating here to confirm your attendance.
I'll start with you, Chair Wade.
Here.
Board Member Case.
Here.
Board Member Murphy.
Here.
And Board Member Smith.
Here.
Thank you.
All right. At this time, we'll move on to the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve today's agenda?
I'll move to approve today's agenda.
Okay. This is Mark.
This is Justin Murphy.
Justin. Okay. Is there a Mark, second?
Mark Case. I'll move to second.
All right. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve today's agenda, please say aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Any extensions? Hearing none, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes of September 28, 2023. Is there a motion to approve the September 28,
2023
meeting minutes?
This is Mark Case. I move to approve the meeting minutes of September 28, 2023.
Okay, is there a second?
This is Denise Smith. I will second.
All right, any discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve the minutes, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is awards and recognitions and welcoming new board members. Sydney, will you present this item?
Yes, sir. So our first item is going to be recognizing three board members who have now turned off, and I believe all three are here. Dirk Bunker, Mari Neubauer, and Scott Kingley have all recently turned off of the board. And so we wanted to just take a moment and thank them for their service, particularly all three of them. Mari as a public member, and then Dirk and Scott as very longtime serving members in their individual capacities. They've all brought so much to the commission, to the board, a lot of insight, and it's been a pleasure working with all three of them. So we wanted to take a moment and recognize all of their service. And we do have plaques for all three of you that Susan has and will be getting out in the mail to you. She's showing them their beautiful Washington State plaques. So thank you all so much for your service, particularly with this board. This is a very unique field for our regulatory boards, and it's not always an easy board because of that, with the different adjustments that you all have to make. And we really appreciate all of your flexibility and your assistance and just your dedication to this board and to the collection agency field. So thank you all so much for your service. I don't know if any of our other members who have served with you have any thoughts that they would like to share as well.
This is Mark. Again, just thank you to all of you. Pleasure working with all of you and getting to know you, and hope to see you around and wish you all the best.
This is Dirk. I just want to say that I've
really appreciated being on the board and I've learned a lot. And it's been an awesome experience. So thank you.
And just to second that, this is Mary. Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to serve. I too learned so much and just really appreciate all of the support from board staff, just in all of the meetings and the conferences. And obviously we couldn't do this without you guys. So thank you. And it's been a pleasure to serve with everyone. So thanks so much.
Yeah, and thank you, Dirk, Mary, and Scott, for your cooperation and appreciate working together with you all. And I think we've done some great work here because of the ability of you all to work, of all of us to work together. So thank you.
And I did just look at our attendee list. Mr. Kinkley had told us he was going to be here for this meeting, but I'm assuming he got held up. So we will make sure that he hears all of the expression for his service as well. So, thank you all. All right. Okay. And then. All right. Thanks, Mary. All right. Well, moving on to our next item, welcoming our new board members. We have had two new members appointed, Justin Murphy and Denise Smith. We're both appointed by the governor's office since our last meeting. Justin being appointed as a member representing the collection agency industry, and then Denise as a public member. So just wanted to take a moment and introduce them to the rest of the board and to the public, and then give each of them a couple of minutes just to introduce themselves and explain a little bit about who they are.
Go ahead, Justin.
I'd like to go first.
Sure, I'll go first. Justin Murphy, I'm Associate General Counsel at one of the licensed agencies in Southwest Washington, Professional Credit Service. I've been there since January of 2017 in that role. And prior to that, I was working in the collection industry in the, from an outside counsel perspective for 5 to 6 years prior to that.
And my name is Denise Smith. I currently work as the Collection and Loss Mitigation Manager at Giesa Credit Union. And prior to that, I was with a third-party debt collection agency for 26 years as Chief Compliance Officer.
Well, thank you both, and we're excited to have you. And Mr. Chair, we will turn it back over to you.
Okay. All right. Welcome, Justin, and welcome, Denise. Looking forward to working with you. We'll now move on to new business. And at the first of every year, the Collection Agency Board holds elections to elect a vice chair for the following 12 months. And so now this is an opportunity for someone to step up and be a vice chair. So I'll now open the floor for nominations for vice chair.
Mr. Chair, if I can, I think we had a question last year about, particularly for this board only meeting twice a year, what exactly does the vice chair do? It is a little bit of a different role. It's a much quieter role for this board than it is for some of our other regulatory boards. But a lot of times we'll rely on the vice chair if we need an additional voice in addition to Chair Wade. We may bring the vice chair in on a couple of meetings just as a, hey, this is what's come up. And have that additional sounding board. It's few and far between, but it does happen from time to time. And then for practical purposes, in the event that for whatever reason, Chair Wade has to declare conflict of interest or turn over running the meeting, or for whatever reason, maybe out sick or whatever, the vice chair would step in and run the meeting, similar to what Chair Wei does. So it's, like I said, it's a much quieter role for this particular group than it is for some of our other regulatory boards. It's not a very big lift or a big additional requirement on anybody. It's just in those kind of as needed circumstances.
Who was the vice chair for last year?
So last year was Scott Kinkley, and he has now turned off of the board.
Now, I'll nominate Mark since he's not the new member.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so if we could have a motion and a second to that effect, and then we'll take it.
I motion to nominate Mark Case as vice chair.
And I will second that motion.
Fred, I think you're still on mute.
Yep, I sure am. All right, Denise, a second. Justin made the motion to nominate Mark. Denise has seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion to nominate Mark Case as vice chair for the next 12 months, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right, any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, congratulations, Mark. You are the vice chair for the next 12 months.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
Our next agenda item is the NACARA annual meeting, as Sydney will provide an update for this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As the packet and the screen says, the annual meeting for the North American Collection Agency Regulatory Association, NACARA, will be held in Sacramento, California, September 30th through October 2nd. And because the next time this board meets will be immediately before that, we do look for a volunteer to attend on behalf of the board at the spring meeting. Unfortunately, that means we don't have a whole lot of information about the conference schedule, the agenda, what everything is going to look like. At this point, we have the date and location. So we wish we could provide more to you, but just the way that the schedule falls for this group, it doesn't work out that way. But as additional information does come out, we will provide it to, we'll share it out to the board as a whole in case anybody is attending on their own, but particularly work with the board designee to make sure you have all of that information as it becomes available. And unfortunately, our representative to NACARA, so for those who don't know, our investigation supervisor, Grace Hamilton, is our liaison with NACARA. She actually sits on the NACARA executive board and does a lot of work with the annual meeting planning, which is great because once that information comes out, we get it immediately rather than having to wait through the normal channels. But she unfortunately is out today. She was going to be here to share additional information if she had any, but she is out, so we don't have anything else to share. But if anybody is particularly interested in attending, we'd be looking for formal approval from the board to send whoever that designee is going to be.
All right. So I guess the first question is anyone interested in attending the board, in attending this annual meeting?
I guess I would be.
Okay. Justin? Anyone else?
This is Mark. I had the opportunity to go in 2022, and it was a really good experience. And I think it'd be useful for one of the newer members to attend this one. So if Justin would like to attend, I am in full support.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I am also interested in going. I do think that I already have a conference booked. So I would need to check my availability dates. But, I mean, of course, if Justin went, that's great, too.
Well, Denise, I can go to this one, and we can pencil you in for next year if you want.
Fantastic.
And, Denise, we can always have you as the alternate in case something comes up, because we understand that this is 6 months in advance and something can always come up for Justin between now and then. And so if something happens, he'd have to bow out. We would reach out to you and see if you were available and willing to attend in his place.
Great.
Okay. And then I can be the backup to the backup.
Or if you would like to be the alternate, Mr. Chair, we can...
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, then we will proceed with setting everything up for Mr. Murphy.
All right. Thank you very much. Next agenda item is the consideration for waiver of WAC 308-29-08558A and B. And Sydney will be presenting this item as well.
Yes, and this was a request, as stated, from a board member to provide some clarification around the intent for WAC 308-29-0855A and B. And so to summarize, this is around the 60-day training requirement for remote work. I believe this was passed early 2020. I'm going to rely on Mark and Fred's historical knowledge, but I believe this was passed in response to COVID.
That's correct.
And so this is just providing clarification around that 60-day rule, and particularly if the intent of the board is 60 calendar days or if it is 60 individual working days. And this request did come from our new vice chair, Mr. Case. So, Mark, I don't know if you have anything else that you wanted to provide for context, but I do think we've had a couple of questions surrounding this come into the agency. So very timely request. And I think the clarification from the board would be appreciated.
Yeah, thank you. A couple of comments. I know we put 60, and then just looking back through the WAC, and this is really a question to for the rest of the board too, if anybody has input. The in-house supervision requirement is 45 days. And subsection A also references a training program, but I don't see where in the WAC the length of the training program is actually specified. I think we're all taking the leap that the training program was 15 days plus the 45 gets us to 60. So perhaps we can clarify that piece. But as for the whole 60 calendar day versus 60 working day, being one of the individuals that was on the committee that that helped craft this rule, my recollection is that it was to be 60 calendar days. And otherwise, I think we would have specified 60 working days specifically, but just the more of the general the general claim would be actually 60 calendar days. And I think industry wanted just some clarification of that from the board.
I would agree with Mark. I was actually participating in the crafting too from the industry standard and for Washington Collectors Association, and it was 60 calendar days. That was our intention.
Well, do we need further clarification because we did not put a time period on the training program in the actual WAC? So the only time mentioned is the 45, mm-hmm. the 45 days. Part A mentions a training program, and then Part B mentions the 45-day supervision, but there's no specific time added on to Part A.
Yeah, I think that's something we could flesh out between now and the next meeting, but perhaps for purposes of this meeting, just a clarification that it's referring to calendar days and not specifically working days would be sufficient.
Okay. Do we need to make a motion to that effect, Mr. Chair?
Yes, if we could.
I make a motion to clarify that WAC 308-29-085 subpart B, the 45-day supervision program refers to 45 working days, or sorry, 45 business days, or 45 days, calendar days, not business days. Sorry.
There we go.
That all together.
All right. Is there a second?
Mark Case, I'll second the motion.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Hearing none, all in favor to accept the motion as presented by Justin? Say aye.
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 All right. Any opposed? Any extensions? All right. Moving on to the next item. Okay, next item is the consideration for waiver regarding Washington Administrative Code 308-29-0855B. Sydney?
Thank you. And as I said, very timely request with that last item. So this is a request from Licensee Receivables Outsourcing LLC to waive the requirement for the in-office time that is outlined under WAC 308-29-0855B for that 45 days. So we did include the initial request from the applicant in the board packet, and at the same time, we did submit a request for additional clarification to the licensee, specifically requesting what is the emergency circumstance that has precipitated this, because that is the requirement that's outlined in WAC currently, is that there must be, or that the board can waive this under emergency circumstances. So we asked for additional clarification on that, which we received very late in the day yesterday. And I'll just summarize. I can read the entire thing if the board prefers, but otherwise I'll just hit the highlights. The licensee provides healthcare revenue cycle services, including consumer collections, collections from healthcare insurers, insurance billing, and follow-up customer service and other related revenue cycle services for hospitals and large physician practice groups. Nearly all of its operations are performed virtually. There is no longer a brick-and-mortar facility for this licensee, and they don't have a collections call center for work. Where work is performed. They do conduct all call center work from remote offices, subject to written information security plans, voice analytics, and call recording management and oversight in a robust compliance management system run and administered virtually. There is no team of collectors with supervisors in a physical office. In short, this licensee has no built-out call center or physical office in which they can locate a collections team for newly hired collectors to complete the training program as required by Washington state law. In addition to that, no Washington-situated healthcare, they don't have any Washington-situated healthcare clients, no Washington-resident employees, and no Washington physical location. Collection activities are conducted in regards to Washington residents related to care and treatment of Washington residents received in facilities in other states other than Washington. And we did double check and verify they are licensed out of state. It's not uncommon for their healthcare clients to prefer that individuals collecting and servicing their patient accounts are part of the communities that they collect in. Their collectors understand the culture, history, and hardships faced by patients in those communities. Per the licensee and its healthcare clients' objectives, this creates a better, more empathetic collectors and is especially important when they are collecting medical debt. So, to kind of summarize it, if new hires are required to train in an office for 45 days, an emergency circumstance would be created for this licensee by Washington state law, as they would need to lease a building, build out a call center, require a team of remote collectors to come in with their leaders and build out that call center. And they would need to maintain a physical call center for only 45 days, where all of their other locations are remote. This would not only subject the licensee to technology and real estate costs to build that out, but would be a hardship on the existing collection staff who would have to return to a physical office for the 45-day training interval. They state that this is not possible financially, especially when you consider the attrition and potential need to train several new collectors or employees over the course of a year. Additionally, the licensee maintains secure, compliant virtual collections, new hires spending 45 days in a temporary physical call center when their day-to-day actual work would be done remotely would not prepare the new hires for the rigorous virtual work expectations. Meanwhile, it would also create a hardship to their existing staff to return to a physical office for almost 2 months when they have organized their lives to work remotely. This would be especially burdensome to employees with families. Arguably the hardship this would work on and its workforce could preclude this licensee from being able to meet its clients' expectations, in that it maintains collection agency licensees in all states in which such licenses are required, and at a minimum would interfere with their ability to replace the small number of employees that they might lose from this time due to ordinary attrition. Their collection agency or collection activities are performed for non-Washington healthcare clients and is an indispensable part of the medical care that is provided across the country, as well as Washington state residents. In conclusion, we are seeking an emergency waiver as this licensee considers the potential fallout from this law as a severe emergency. It will negatively impact the client's medical providers and their ability to provide services, collectors and employees and their families, and future patients and clients as part of their entire business model. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions from the board.
So this is Denise. I have a couple questions. So I want to just confirm there's 42 of the 103 employees that do third-party activity in Washington.
I'm trying to look at their request. It says they have a total of 145 employees, of whom 42 are involved in third-party collection activities or compliance related thereto. So I don't know that I don't believe those are specifically in Washington.
Okay. And then what is the length of their training specific to calling Washington residents for their business practices?
I do not know the answer to that question, but the attorney for the licensee is on this call. Her name is Leslie Bender, if Mr. Chair, you're... Okay.
Yeah, I see Leslie's hand is up. Go ahead, Leslie.
Sure, and I apologize. Of course, at the exact moment, there is some construction going on in my building. I apologize. Licensee's training program, it also occurs virtually, and it lasts a month, 4 weeks.
How are they supervised remotely? Is it is it using one of those I know there's vendors with the technology to sort of run sort of virtual rooms where you have a manager overseeing each collector in their remote place?
Exactly. And the company is organized in teams based on the clients. So they are fully integrated with their client service manager, with the client service reps, and the collectors and any support people that are related to their work.
And that you said that 4 week, training and supervision, is that both the the training program mentioned in subpart A of the WAC, as well as the supervision that is...
The supervision continues virtually, Mr. Murphy, for 90 days, virtually.
And Leslie, this is Denise Smith again. I'm assuming during the supervisory part of their training, there is special check-ins and monitoring of all of their work and auditing of that work that is obviously documented in the CMS that that company holds.
Exactly. The company is obligated by its health system client. It primarily works for nonprofit hospitals that are headquartered in the Cleveland, Baltimore, and Boston areas. And their clients require them to do daily monitoring and check-in. They have a voice analytics system that allows supervisors not only to listen in real time, but to break into calls and participate or provide assistance. But it is daily ongoing monitoring.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions?
No other questions, but perhaps a comment. This is Mark Case. And again, as I was on the committee that helped draft this, went back into some of our notes, and I can tell you we did not actually anticipate or contemplate the situation that we have before us, where an agency or licensee is almost or basically 100% remote. Perhaps we could have foresaw that coming, but that was not exactly taken into account. So I do appreciate the questions asked by the other board members, as well as the answers provided by Ms. Bender with respect to their training program and the length of it and the virtual supervision.
Just to add on there, Mark, I wouldn't be surprised if this becomes a more common thing and a more common request in the way the things are moving in the collection space nationally.
Yeah, I agree, Justin. It's, you know, like I said, it wasn't exactly contemplated, but this was, as we all remember, things were happening pretty quick at the time. And, I don't think anybody thought two or three steps down the road like this, but certainly makes sense given the last 4 years and where we're at.
I believe in looking through the notes from the committee and from the board meetings at that time, it was really just to create an opportunity for collection agencies to go remote in that everything was shutting down and it was more addressing the emergency situation. But I don't think anybody in any industry anticipated the amount of remote that would hang around post-COVID.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Well, with that, I will call for a motion. Do we have a motion to grant the waiver?
I'll make a motion to grant the waiver. I feel satisfied with the descriptions of the training and the ongoing supervision.
Okay. Thank you, Justin. Is there a second?
Go ahead, Mark.
This is Mark Case. I'll second the motion.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
I'm sorry, one other thing. Just to, I believe the WAC, we have an annual review. So perhaps this is something that would be good to docket for that to discuss the next time the WAC does come up for a review and how to handle the situation.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, good point. All right, all in favor of the motion to grant the waiver to Receivables Outsourcing LLC, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Any extensions? Motion carries and the waiver is granted. Moving on to the next item. The next item on our agenda is reports, and Sydney will present the reports.
Thank you very much. And I am actually going to call on Evelyn Manley Rodriguez, who is going to be representing our investigations and audits. Sorry, Evelyn. And she's going to be presenting the data for her unit.
Okay. Good morning, Chair Wade and members of the board. My name is Evelyn Manley Rodriguez. I'm a program manager with Centralized Investigations and Audits Unit, and I support regulatory boards. Thank you for having me join you this morning. So the following case count reflects the collection agency board administrative closures. We have 4 cases closed due to no jurisdiction, 48 cases closed due to no violations, and 4 cases recommended to be closed by the case manager. I would like to share the top complaints or maybe trends associated with these closures. And they are failure to validate the debt, collecting invalid debt, unprofessional conduct, and unlicensed practice. Any questions on that? If there's no questions, maybe we can go to the second slide. Great. So the next is the complaint status of the status of each case as of February 23rd, 2024. 20 cases were closed due to no jurisdiction or they were unsubstantiated. 2 cases with investigations team right now. We have 2 of those. And 10 cases are currently under management review. And that brings the total cases of 32. And that's all I have.
All right. Thanks, Evelyn. So, Susan, I can get you, or I guess, are there any questions on any of the case data before we move on? All right, thanks so much, Evelyn. All right, so looking at our licensee counts, currently we have 268 collection agencies, 271 collection agency branches in state, and then out of state we have 497 collection agencies and 659 out of state collection agency branches for a total of 1,691 licensees. And I did want to point out that there, in case any board members hear about it, there is a slight backlog in responses with the collection agency shared inbox here within the agency. That was due to some personal absences and shifts that were happening internally. So we are aware of that. They are getting through that and getting it caught up as quickly as possible. But just in case any of you hear anything about that, we are aware of it and we're on top of it and should have that caught up here very shortly.
Okay.
All right. And then I will let Susan Nieves review our very short action item list.
Hey, Sydney. I have a question.
Yes.
I was trying to squeeze in my question here. Back on the collection agency complaint status,
mm-hmm.
I see that Dirk and Scott had some cases. What happens to those now that they are off the board?
So those will be reassigned to other case managers. I believe our investigation supervisor, Grace Hamilton, has already reassigned several of them to Mr. Case as the only longer serving board member. But I believe there were a couple because that really increased Mr. Case's caseload. I believe she was working on pulling together a case manager training for our 2 new board members to get them up to speed, and then we'll be reassigning a couple of those to them, but we have to make sure we provide them with some training and some context before we do that. So those are either already have been reassigned or in the process of being reassigned at this moment.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And I can say I've had my training within the last couple of weeks with Grace. So
great.
So with our action item list, we only have 1 item on there, and that's the charter review, and that is currently still in progress.
And that there will be more news coming on that this summer. It's just some other irons have been in the fire and it kind of just keeps getting ticked back down the list. But we are working on it. We'll have an update for you guys over the summer.
Okay. It's now we'll turn to our next item, which is public comments. So we will now enter our public comment period. The public may address the board on matters within the board's jurisdiction, either verbally during the meeting or by submitting written comments in advance. Verbal comments are limited to 1 3-minute comment. Written comments are limited to no more than 500 words and must be emailed to dolboards@dol.wa.gov no less than 2 business days prior to the meeting with the subject line Public Comment Collection Agency Board. In response to all public comments, the board is limited to requesting that the matter be added to a future agenda for discussion or directing staff to study the matter further. Inflammatory comments and language will not be permitted. If you would like to make a comment, please unmute your line, state your name, and share your comments with the board. As a reminder, please mute your line once you have finished. Board staff, do we have any written public comments to be read by staff?
I was just double checking, but I do not believe that we do, Mr. Chair.
Okay, all right. Then let's start with the verbal comments, please. Does anyone have any verbal comments? All right, I'm going to do my little auctioneer kind of thing here. Verbal comments going once. Anyone have any verbal comments? Going twice. Okay, I don't hear any. So we'll move on to our next agenda here, which is announcements. Do we have any announcements? Hearing none, do we have any, do any board members have items they would like to request for the next agenda?
This is Mark Case. I believe we had one item that was potentially to be on this agenda, but was going to be moved to the next meeting agenda, not had to do with legal financial obligations.
Okay. Yes, and we do have that on the next agenda.
Thank you.
All right, Susan, could you review the action items for the next meeting?
As Sydney stated, we will give you an update on that, the charter review. And we will have the legal financial obligations as an agenda item for discussion on the next meeting in September.
And then I also captured the WAC review, particularly including 308, 29, 085, as well as further clarification around the 45-60-day requirement, not just the calendar day, but the full intent on whether it's 45 or 60 included in that WAC review.
Thank you, Sydney.
All right. Thank you very much. The time is now 10:46, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you. Thank you.